This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Moran is the former chair of the Democratic Caucus in the Virginia House of Delegates and a candidate for governor. Virginia, of course, will choose a new governor in November of 2009. Brian Moran joins me on the long line. It's an honor to welcome him to the program. How are you, Brian?
Hey, Coy. I'm great. Thank you.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. You know, this has actually a special significance. I met my wife on Christmas Eve. I was shopping at a mall.
Are you serious?
And my wife was wrapping gifts for juvenile diabetes, and I brought some presents over to her to wrap, and truly it was first sight, love at first sight.
Wow. So you were just making chit-chat as she's sitting there wrapping the presents.
She was indeed, and a mutual friend, as it turns out, she did some things for the local Chamber of Commerce, and I was shopping with a buddy. I always wait to the last minute.
Yeah.
And we,
well, you're a good American male.
Yeah, and she. It took us 3 months to start dating, but it was truly love at first sight. I saw her, and I said, I'm going to marry her, and sure enough, she and still are, and we have two beautiful kids, eight years of age and six, and they're doing great with the...
good stuff.
Oh, they're excited with the big day coming up on Thursday.
And she can still wrap Christmas presents.
I leave the wrapping to Karen, yes.
The family expert. We're talking with former delegate Brian Moran. I say former delegate, of course, Brian, because you made headlines recently by deciding that you were going to focus all your energies on the run for the governor's mansion, right?
I know. I'm not sure if I've adjusted to the former yet. I love to mix it up in Richmond, and I love to fight for the things I believe in. I just saw, ultimately, the next 4 years are, you know, it's not about the next 45-day session, but the next 4 years, and I'm running for governor, and it's an all-encompassing proposition. It's full-time, and to do both was just no longer, you know, I realized that I could not do both. I could not do both well, and so I consequently resigned my seat. I'm, you know, to have a wonderful replacement. She's fabulous. She's a great member of the Democratic Caucus and of the General Assembly. So, it was a tough decision. But I made it for the right reasons. And if you make the decision for the right reasons, it's usually the right decision. So.
And as a tangent, we just want to say Charnel Herring, who won the Democratic nomination for that special election to fill your seat, is a double graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership here at the University of Virginia. So we were proud to see her step forward and to serve.
I endorsed her candidacy. She's been very involved in the local community. So she'll share many of the same positions. So
yes.
She'll now have seniority over the rest of the 2009 class. So I was trying to look out for my constituents in my district. It was a tough decision. I've cherished the 12 years I've served in the legislature. 7 of those years I've been in leadership, but I realize leadership in representing my constituents to the best of my ability is a full-time proposition. And you add on running for governor, it was a lot. And I realize somebody was not going to receive my full attention.
We're talking with Brian Moran. He's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor here in Virginia. The election, of course.
To remind people, it's actually in June. There's a primary. There's 6 months left. And the last time I was with you, Coy, it was the night before the election.
Oh yeah, is that when you were down here? Yeah,
I was joining great college Democrats over at UVA
right here in Charlottesville. You were here.
Sarah Buckley and others, and I joined them for the rally, and sure enough, that was a historical election day in Virginia, and we now have President-elect Obama and Senator-elect Mark Warner and Tom Perriello.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
So it was a clean sweep in the 5th District.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Brian, tell us that we're talking with Brian Moran. Brian, tell us about how your life is changing from a member of the House leadership representing this district in Northern Virginia to now seeking to represent all of Virginia. Tell us how it's different for you. Spending a lot more time on the road, I would imagine.
I spend a great deal of time on the road, and Virginia is a very diverse commonwealth. It's lovely in its geography, on the great mountains and hills of Southwest and the Piedmont, and of course the beaches of Virginia Beach, and so it's a lovely state in cultural diversity as well. And I'm running a race that to represent all of Virginia. I'm from Northern Virginia, of course, and spent my life there as a prosecutor and legislator, but as a Democratic leader, I've been able to travel the state for the last 7 years, and you know, whether it's Gainesville or Danville and Galax to Fairfax, and it's so I've learned the issues and built relationships all over the Commonwealth, and in fact, just recently, the former Congressman L.F. Payne endorsed my candidacy because he recognized that I'm a candidate that wants to run a race to represent all of Virginia, and I was very pleased to receive his endorsement, and I've been receiving support all over the Commonwealth, and we have wonderful assets here, and wonderful traditions, and I want to continue to exploit those assets, like the port in Hampton Roads and the technology industry in Northern Virginia and the beautiful tourism in Southwest Virginia and our colleges and universities like UVA. So we have a lot to offer, and I'm bullish about our future.
We're talking with former delegate Brian Moran, a candidate for governor. Brian, it looks like this is going to be a three-man race on the Democratic side. Of course, Attorney General Bob McDonnell will have the nomination for the Republican nomination for governor. But now we're looking at Cree Deeds, yourself, and surprise, somewhat latecomer to the race is former DNC national chairman Terry McAuliffe, who's a resident of Northern Virginia. And I guess not a surprise to you. You've seen it coming, I guess, a lot longer than some others. But a surprise to most Virginians that there would be a third person in this primary race.
No, it's a little bit of a came as a bit of a surprise to me as well. give Terry credit. He's been a national figure. He certainly devoted a considerable amount of time to the national Democrats. Clearly, the Clintons have benefited from his work. But I think, ultimately this race will come down to, Virginians and what you have done for Virginia, but also your vision for the future of Virginia. And my friend Creed Eads and I have put time in the legislature. We've worked hard on any number of issues. We both share a great love for Virginia. We differ on some issues, and those will become apparent as this campaign progresses, and I've been in leadership for the 7 years, and I think Virginians will look for somebody who has demonstrated that leadership in Virginia, on Virginia issues, and has the vision for Virginia where it's will continue to be a great place to live, work, and raise a family.
Brian, what do you think are going to be the key issues in 2009, whether it's the primary in the summer, which that is not a closed primary. All of Virginia will be able to vote in that.
Open, right. We do not have party registration in Virginia, so it's an open primary, but it'll be for the Democratic nomination, yes. The issues, first and foremost, will be the economy. We need to continue to make sure that Virginia remains an attractive place for business so that we can create jobs and prosper here in Virginia. That's why, we've just been starving our infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, higher education, research and development, smart research as our colleges and universities. That's that creates more jobs, and they're interconnected with the new energy technology. We must become more energy efficient, adopt a new energy conservation ethic that Tom Friedman talks about in his recent book, but ultimately we need to make sure that we explore new energy technology, clean alternative energy. It'll create jobs and save our environment for the next generation. So those are the issues that will be certainly are important to me, but I think they'll be important to Virginia's future.
And when we hear politicians say that, should we picture new warehouses or outfitted old warehouses, factories, churning out things like solar panels and tax credits
we have a lot of military installations here in Virginia that need to be retrofitted. They use energy, and we have to make sure we incentivize private industry to make sure that they provide more energy efficiency and save energy. It's all in our best interest to save energy and also less expensive. New building construction. I've been promoting green buildings in the legislature, that all state buildings would be now green. We need to continue to do that. Also, with respect to the jobs that you reference, yes, more solar panels, wind power, biodiesel, biofuels. Those are all alternative sources of clean energy, and they can create jobs as well. So, you know, the manufacturing of solar panels is clearly one that we should promote.
And I guess, and then we should see, consequently, more aggressive tax credits to homeowners to outfit their homes with solar panels. I remember looking into it a few years ago, and it was $7,000 or $8,000 to do my house all solar and really to make a difference. And the guy who, you know, estimated it said, look, the tax credits really aren't substantial. It's going to take you a long time to make it pay for itself.
Right. And in a young person like yourself with a young family, you may not be living in that house long enough
exactly
to recoup the benefits.
Exactly.
Right. So we have to upfront, the capital costs have to be reduced through the use of tax credits so that it would be more, you know, you'd have that financial incentive. Clearly, over time, you will recoup your investment, but, you know, if it's 10, 15, 30 years down the road, you won't, you know, as a young family, you may not live there.
Yeah, it's not going to make sense to make that investment.
So we need to make it more attractive up front.
Yeah, that, and that's an important part of that formula. That's a legislative decision to make that possible for people, because it's like transit. You know, there's a reason people ride the metro, because one keeps coming every few minutes. It's the same thing. If it makes sense for somebody to do it, people are going to do it.
Yeah, and you know, transit and high speed rail, that's the type of infrastructure that we have cheated over the years. We are not investing sufficient resources in those modes of transportation. And people are ahead of the politicians in this regard. You know, even despite the recent reduction in gasoline prices, people are still using transit. They're still using rail. We need to expand those choices. And, you know, we have a metro system in Northern Virginia that we're trying to expand out to Dulles Airport through Tysons Corner, which is a very large commercial hub in Northern Virginia. We also have high-speed rail along the 95 corridor that takes traffic off the road. So it helps those who are in traffic because it reduces the number of vehicles, it reduces gas consumption, reduces energy costs, and reduces carbon emissions. So those are the type of infrastructure investments that we should be making.
We're talking with former chair of the Democratic caucus in the Virginia House of Delegates, gubernatorial candidate Brian Moran. Brian, I can guarantee you there's some folks sitting listening to us right now, and they're thinking, well, all this sounds great, but this all takes money. And, you know, you're a Democratic politician talking about making major investments in infrastructure, and where do you find that money?
Well, we mentioned earlier some tax incentives. You do it so that it makes it more attractive, and if you create jobs through tax incentives, you have that many more people working. You create that much more growth, and that's the way to get out of this recession right now. It's not to tax people more, but rather to create more opportunities and invest in those things that will produce more jobs and more economic activity, like research at our colleges and universities. There's some wonderful things going on at UVA. There's some wonderful things going on at Virginia Tech that if we invest in, that will create those new technologies that we can develop here and even export them overseas. So those are the smart investments that we need to get out of this recession. And also, let me tell you, you hear on the federal government is exploring the stimulus and multi-hundred-billion-dollar.
Yeah. We going to get some of that in Virginia?
I think we will. We have a wonderful congressional delegation that will receive our fair share. But a billion-dollar investment in transportation here in Virginia would create 35,000 jobs.
Wow.
So you know, best program of all is a job, and those are the type of jobs that will create growth and future prosperity. But we need to make sure those resources are dedicated to like high-speed rail and transit, and not just roads and bridges. But we certainly need to make sure our roads and bridges are safe. But we need to make those investments in that are smart for the future as well. And,
yeah, wouldn't it be something, Brian, to see, you know, how you saw in the 30s and with the building of the National Highway Transportation Act and put all these people to work building roads, wouldn't it be something to see across Virginia so many people put to work building, like, rail, building metro kind of, you know, high-speed
energy,
rail all across Virginia?
In retrofitting our residences and in commercial businesses to save energy.
It's so doable.
I think President-elect Barack Obama inspires people. I think he'll get Congress to go along with this stimulus package that will invest in energy efficiency and transportation alternatives. And it's all interconnected. It'll create jobs. It'll reduce the pollution. And
it'll reduce our dependency on the Middle East.
Yeah. Dependency on foreign oil.
Yeah. You know,
$10 billion a month we're spending in Iraq. But the
and hopefully the political will is there. Because Jimmy Carter, frankly, talked about a lot of the same stuff in the 70s and really didn't get anywhere.
Too bad we didn't make more progress in the 70s. Our automobile industry probably wishes they had adopted more of those fuel-efficient vehicles instead of them going overseas. But that's just the type. But I think it's 30 years later, and we have global climate change, and anyone who feels they need to be shaken up a little bit, they should read Hot, Flat, and Crowded, pick it up as a Christmas gift. That will get you concerned, and we all need to be concerned that, this is a wonderful planet. It's God's creation, and it's our responsibility to take care of it, and we need to step up and be responsible.
We're talking with gubernatorial candidate Brian Moran. Brian, we got just a couple of minutes left. Can you preview the upcoming General Assembly session for us, the first one that you will not be at in many, many years? So it'll be a little bit funny for you. But
there will be a little bit of I can't imagine not going back. Governor Kane has tried to be responsible. I mean, he's facing a very difficult budget crunch. Revenues are down, and he's trying to do the best. We're trying to make do with less. He's proposed some things that none of us like. I mean, we don't like cuts to higher education that'll increase costs, cuts to health care. But he's done it across the board, and he's used the rainy day fund. I think there'll be some gnashing of teeth, but ultimately I think a budget that looks very much like his will ultimately pass, because no one wants to make any further cuts. And, the governor's providing some leadership, strong leadership on this. So I think ultimately the budget will look much like what he has proposed.
And I guess we had David Toscano in here a week or so ago, and he was saying don't expect to see too many legislative proposals that involve the spending of money.
No, there was very little discretionary funding. Last year, I pushed Alicia's law, and we picked up $1.5 million, and I had already had my bill drafted to ask for level funding, another $1.5 million, because they're just doing terrific work. What it does is it finds sexual predators over the Internet who are preying on our young people over the Internet, and it provided resources for our law enforcement officers to find them and provide updated the equipment as well and the computer technology to find these people, these criminals over the Internet. And they've done that. There's some wonderful stories coming through that they've saved some young people from could have been disastrous situations. But that's the type of funding that you feel is so vital. I mean, that's so important, but then it competes against all the other priorities. And so it's going to be a tough budget year, and but David and others I know will do a great job, and I'm confident we'll end up with a budget that reflects our values and continue to make critical investments in education and public safety and economic development.
So Brian, before we let you go, we want to say Merry Christmas and best wishes for a joyous new year for you and your family.
Home with an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. It's a very joyous time of year, and I certainly wish you and all your listeners safe and enjoyable and joyous holiday, and of course a very safe and prosperous new year.
Always an honor to talk to you. Brian Moran, former member of the Virginia House of Delegates, now a candidate for governor. The primary, of course, is in June, and the general election will be next November. Brian, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Coy.
Absolutely.
Great being with you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.